Welcome to Mattis Avenue Free Methodist Church, where we worship God, make disciples of Jesus Christ, and serve our community and world. The following is a recorded message based on God's holy word. We would love to see you for our worship services on Sunday mornings. For more information, visit www.mattisav.org or call 217-355-5947. And may God bless you.
Well, thank you so much for being with us here today, Mattis. I just want to point out, it's Shelly's birthday, of course, her 30th birthday. So make sure you say happy birthday to her. But it's also Pastor Wick and Pastor Sarah's 23rd wedding anniversary today. So make sure you, yes, a great example of just an incredible marriage. But just as you guys know, I was 5 when you got married. So do with that what you will. Those were the good old days, I believe. Someone told me. well, it's great to be here, just always getting to bring the Word of God. And as we inch towards Christmas in a few days, one of my favorite things is to talk about the different traditions that exist in our homes. And I know in my family, one of the things that is sacred is that we do not open a single present until Christmas morning. And I know that that's weird for some of you because you're like, I already opened presents with my family, blah, blah, blah. But that was something that always was sacred until I began snooping around on Christmas Eve and finding some of my presents. And I remember one year I so desperately wanted Guitar Hero 3 so I could play that on the PlayStation 2, and I could play a Slash from Guns N' Roses. And it was my favorite gift that I ever got to open. But my mom made sure that she would lock up all of the presents wrapped in our barn after that, because I would snoop around so much. And I told her after like 3 years that I had done that. My conscience got to me. But another one of those things that we've started in our family is each year we have decided that we would buy an outdoor Christmas decoration. Now, if you look at my house this year, it's not very decorated outside because some of our stuff is still in Michigan. Some of the stuff I took from my mom because she wasn't putting some of her decorations out. So it'll be better next year, I promise. You'll see all of Mattis Avenue lit up. It'll be beautiful. But a few years ago, I was on a Facebook page of all the youth pastors, which is just, mind you, a really crazy place to be at all, because youth pastors are kind of crazy in of itself. But somebody found a link for a 30-foot-tall inflatable Santa Claus. If you want to put that picture up, it's there. Yeah. Why wouldn't you want this? I mean, this is the coolest thing. That thing is almost as tall as that building in the picture. It's probably AI generated, but that's what it was supposed to be, right? And so we found this link, and a bunch of us, I mean a bunch, probably hundreds of youth pastors across the country bought this thing, thinking that we were going to get it. It was $45, so that was probably the reason why we should have known first. But we're youth pastors. We're not the smartest breed of humans, but we're around. We're not mathematicians, but we are fun. And so we decided that, you know what, it was worth the risk to give it a shot. And so we waited, and we waited, and we waited. And finally, a package came. And this package was kind of small. I had not seen anyone else post about getting theirs in the mail or anything. And so I got this package. I was like, wow, this really must be super deflated, right? So I opened the package, and I'll show you what I got. I still have it. This is not 30 feet tall, nor is it inflatable. But it does look like a little bit like the picture. It does say Merry Christmas on it. It's got a little bell. Yeah, I still have this. Thankfully, they refunded all of us, and it was really funny because the next week and a half was full of these on Facebook and us saying, why did we believe it? It was too good to be true. But if one day, maybe, I'm just hoping maybe one day it'll just show up. So if you see a 30-foot-tall Santa Claus on Mattis Avenue, you'll know why. But decorations are a big part of our tradition, and it's a big part of who we are. And it's about experiencing Advent and remembering that feeling we have during Advent. This is a special time of year, right? You get that feeling that's just different from any other part of the year. You could probably feel that way around Easter or any other kind of big holiday. There's just a feeling of fullness, a feeling of the presence of the Lord that's so deep. I mean, at some points, even people know that this is such a big time. They come back to church. They come back to their faith in Jesus because they know that this is a foundational time of their life. But we can't just live on traditions alone and just presents or gifts alone. We live on the peace and the love that Jesus has given us. And so as we lit the fourth candle of Advent, love, we're going to focus on feeling that love of Jesus, not just through Advent, but every day of our life. This feeling that we have right now, a feeling of Christmas being 4 days away, that feeling on Christmas Eve that you get of excitement and you can't sleep. I'm 28 years old. Remember, I was 5 years old when you were married. That's funny, isn't it? I'm 28 years old and I still can't sleep on Christmas Eve because it's just that magical feeling of Christmas the next day. Not just because of presents or anything else, but of the things that you do together. And so as we move into the scripture reading today, let's keep that in our mind. Or Isaiah chapter 7, starting in verse 10. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, saying, "Ask a sign of the Lord your God. Let it be as deep as Sheol or as high as heaven." But Ahaz said, "I will not ask, and I will not put the Lord to the test." And then Isaiah said, "Hear then, O house of David. Is it too little for you to weary mortals that you ask, that you weary my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Look, the young woman is with child and shall bear a son and shall name him Emmanuel. He shall eat curds and honey by the time he knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good. For the child knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good. The land before whose two kings you will dread will be deserted." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the reminder of your deep love in the form of your Son, Jesus, that came to this earth. May you be with us as we continue to dive into your word today. Amen. So this is a very important and crucial piece of scripture in the prophecy of Jesus. If you've ever heard of the blue letter Bible, that's something that has existed before. You know, the red letters are the words of Jesus. The blue letter Bible is one that shows the prophecies of Jesus all throughout the Old Testament, even sometimes in the New Testament of Revelation. And one of these, if you go through Isaiah, there are so many highlighted prophecies. But this is a crucial one because we see a prophecy of a young woman having Savior of the world. So King Ahaz was in a very greatly distressing moment. He's a king of Judah, and he was feeling the pressure of two kingdoms to the north closing in on him. And so the Lord said, "Well, why don't you ask for something as deep as Sheol, or as a place of death, or as high as heaven?" So the Lord even told Ahaz, "Hey, I will let you expound all of your imagination from as far down to as high as you think. Put the Lord to the test and I'll help you." But Ahaz obviously knew that there were scriptures against that. We see that in Deuteronomy, not 6:16 is one of those instances to not put the Lord to the test. So he believed, "I'm not going to do that." And so he put that aside and decided not to do that. But the Lord, even in Ahaz's standoffishness, the Lord gave him a sign anyway through the prophet Isaiah. And so the Lord promised that there would be a woman bore a child named Emmanuel, who we later find out means God with us. The Lord claims that peace will be brought to the land before the child even knows how to choose good from evil, even though we know he's Jesus and he already does because he has no sin nature. But unfortunately, Ahaz ignores all of these things. And eventually he looks for power elsewhere from other military beings in Assyria. And he obviously is not a king that loves the Lord often. If you look down in scripture, he made people worship idols and many other things. That could be a different sermon for a different time. But the Lord still gave a sign of hope through his prophet Isaiah. He gave a sign that wasn't about power, military victory, or violence. It was a symbol, a sign that they were seeking of a humble infant who has come to be born with the peace and the love of God surrounding him. In the northern kingdoms of Israel, peace would exist, as it says here in the end of the scripture in Isaiah. And obviously we know that peace would then be disrupted by Herod, but again, a different sermon for a different time. But God's subtle sign in these scriptures in the Old Testament, in Isaiah, show how deeply ingrained our King Jesus is. In full, the Old Testament is of chaotic kings and chaotic kingdoms, Jesus still reigned through the prophecies that existed. And so if we go to Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, which was part of our reading today, we see this prophecy fulfilled. Look, the virgin shall become pregnant and give birth to a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel. And if you're wondering why it's with an E, that's because it's Greek. I learned that this week. That's a new thing. Small little subtle difference. The I is Hebrew. The E is Greek. But here, the world began to know their true king, who brought forth this shalom, this peace on earth. But as we see, this Sunday is about love. And the great love that the Lord has for us. And there's a lot to be said about that. There's so many different sermons you could hear on love, because love is the greatest piece of our faith that exists. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. You hear that all the time in John 3:16. That whoever believes in him shall have eternal life and not perish. That deep agape love that we can't express fully in our words. But I want us to look back at the first Sunday of peace, because we can possess the same peace and fulfillment that we feel every Christmas, every Advent, each and every day of our lives. The Lord in his kindness brought forth such a great love in the form of Emmanuel, God with us. Because while hope and joy, the other pieces of Advent, are also rooted in the love of God, peace stands as the culmination of God's agape love. When we have peace, we feel fulfilled. We feel the presence of God so deeply because of the love that he has for us. And that Hebrew term for peace, you may have heard it before, is shalom, which shalom simply means complete or whole. Jesus brought wholeness and completeness of God into this world through his death on the cross and ultimate resurrection. We have peace exist when love has fully shown up. And when Jesus showed up to this earth, there was such a great peace on earth. And so the coming of Jesus is the completeness of God and his people being unified together. If you search throughout the Old Testament, throughout the beginning of the Bible, you see this division between God and his people. And the coming of Jesus unified us together again. The ultimate death and resurrection unified us with God. His life is a unification of the Lord's creation and the Lord's love back together again. He brought forth this peace on earth that we cannot fully understand. And so when we have love so deeply present, there is peace all around us. And so I want to do something for a second. I want you to close your eyes. I want you to think of a time that you felt so deeply loved. Did you experience a peace that surpassed any understanding? Ask yourself, what made it so peaceful? Was it that you had no responsibilities and no one was asking you to do something? Or was it that you felt the presence of your Savior around you? Was it that everything around you was calm? Was everything just perfect? Were you in the presence of Jesus so deeply? Whatever that moment was, I urge you to go back to that. You can open your eyes when you're ready. But I urge you to go back to that. Not just in this season of Advent, because it's a reminder of the love that we have. You see, this year was a year of many changes for our family, moving here, getting to be in a whole new state for the first time in my life, pretty much uprooting our entire life and moving to a new community, a new church. And it's come with challenges, but we've been so thankful for the community we found here and the friends we've made in the last 9 months or so. And I remember taking a trip this year that so deeply made me feel that moment of love and peace to Alabama for the New Room Conference. I went with some incredible people, Hector and Genevieve and Helen Kaufman and Pastor Wick and Sarah. And it was a time where I felt like there were no distractions around me. I could just live with Jesus in the moment 100%. And I remember feeling this overwhelming peace when I experienced the love of God so deeply. One night we were talking about just moving on from things of the past and pain of the past. The speaker, Tara Beth Leach, was talking about. I just remember having this experience with God that was so deep and profound that I just couldn't really explain it. But I felt that all of the things and all of the stuff, the chaos going on in my brain was just being lifted off my shoulders because the Lord so deeply loved me that I just felt peace afterwards. So we can still possess this feeling every single day of our lives. It doesn't just have to be a special feeling during a certain part. We don't just show up to church because it's close to Christmas or Easter. We can show up to church because we're so deeply ingrained in a community that follows the love of Jesus. So how do we pursue that shalom? How do we pursue that peace, that love of Christ? Well, I'll invite you to do a few things. First, retreat from chaos. Retreat from your normal life. Go away. Run away. If it's 20 minutes down the road or you have ability to fly across the ocean, I don't know what it is. Make intentional time from away from normal life and invite Jesus into your world. I absolutely love the testimony of the Hernandez Kirk family getting to have a 6-month sabbatical to just see what Jesus had for them. It doesn't have to be that crazy too. It could be taking a run over to the Wabash camp for the weekend and getting a cabin for yourself and having your own spiritual retreat. And secondly, we need to just simply invite the Lord into those moments. We need to take intentional moments with Jesus. Be willing to have time with him no matter the circumstances in your life. We need to be willing to cut distractions out of it. For me, the biggest distraction, thank goodness I don't have it up here, that would have been really awkward, is my phone. It's so easy during my quiet time to be distracted by all the bells and whistles and the emails and the things that are going on, and simply just putting that away can cut out a huge distraction. This isn't the most profound thing, but these are things that we can do in our spiritual walks to feel that presence of Jesus that we're all feeling right now. That special Advent Christmas moment can be felt in August. It can be felt in April. It can be felt on a random Tuesday in February. Because we can experience that because Jesus has offered that to us. That deep love when he came as a humble infant in the manger, that deep love didn't just exist for the month of December. It existed for all time. We have the opportunity to have that relationship with Jesus every single day. And so it's simple that even five minutes with Jesus in the midst of chaos is much better than a whole day without experiencing his presence. It's hard, but having rhythms of our life, things that we can have to keep us on track, help us. And you may look at others and compare yourselves, well, this person reads their Bible for like 2 hours a day. I can't do that. They go to church every Sunday. My life's busy. I have to work on Sundays. That's okay. Experience Jesus in the way that you know how. Go on a walk. Go swimming. I don't know. Work out. Do whatever you need to do to experience Jesus and how he speaks to you. And it may not be this huge moment like it felt for me when I was in Alabama. It might just be a subtle whisper. Or it might be someone else that he brought into your life to remind you of his great love. That's when we experience the overwhelming peace of Christ. And so, as we move into this time, we need to know and also know that there is chaos. There is grief. There is hard things that we will face each and every day. One of the hardest things that I felt lifted off my shoulders when I was in Alabama was the passing of my father about 5 years ago, close to 5 years ago. He passed away, unfortunately, in a medical accident. And the grief that I have felt for 5 years is just unlike anything else I can explain. And I felt like I've lacked the peace of God in my life. I felt loved by him. I felt like he's there, he's present. But it just was that thing that I couldn't move on from. And for any of you that have experienced grief and know what it's like to lose someone so close, it is hard. And we all grieve differently. We all experience those things differently. And you are always allowed to grieve. Don't let anyone tell you that. But how I had allowed the grief to push me down into the depths of what ifs and not moving on with my normal life, it was difficult. But I was reminded that one random Friday night in September, I think it was, August, I don't remember. I just remember it was hot. But I was reminded how deeply, not that just God loved me, but how deeply I could experience his peace in the midst of the hard things in my life. And so I told myself that I would make sure that I continued to search him out in different ways. That I would continue to try something new, to make sure I took time to get away from work and even just being in the same space that I am every so often, to talk with Jesus and say, hey, how are we doing? What do you have for me? Because the most humble thing we can do is sit at the feet of Jesus and say, Lord, I'm listening. Lord, hear my prayers. And it doesn't have to be for hours and hours, but I would encourage you to do retreats. I would encourage you to go to camp. I would encourage you to go to Making Space for God. Have those opportunities and take them. But to even sit to start your day with 5 minutes of, Lord, what do you have for me today, can be life-altering. And so as we walk to this culmination, this like profound mark of our faith, Christmas, don't let the peace that you're experiencing go away until Easter. Don't let that love fall apart that you feel of from Jesus. Let it be something that you carry with you from Christmas to Christmas. Let it be something that you have daily. Make space for God in your life. I want us to be reminded of how love came to this earth one more time. I'm going to read our scripture reading, our first one again. Matthew 18, 1:18 through 25. Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary has been engaged to Joseph, but they lived together, she was found to be pregnant from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to divorce her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child in her is conceived from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken through the prophet. "Look, the virgin shall become pregnant and give birth to the son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from his sleep, he heard the angel of the Lord commanded him and took her as his wife, but had no marital relations until she had given birth to a son and named him Jesus. May we not forget Emmanuel, the weight of Emmanuel, God with us, that God came down to this earth and he felt what we felt. Fully God, fully human. He was tempted. He was tried. He experienced the things that we experienced as humans. And yet, he could have saved himself on the cross. But he didn't. He did that for us. In the greatest act of love ever. And then he was rose from the grave 3 days later. And gave us a mission to go and make disciples. And so that love that we possess too is not just meant for us. It's meant for others. It's meant for Pete that sat on a bench one day and saw a random notebook. That's crazy that you're okay with them reading your diary. That's awesome. I don't know. They'd probably look at mine and be like, "Oh, that's a little weird." Thank you for that unexpected sermon illustration, Jenny. But how incredible that is, that life isn't just about coincidences. The birth of Jesus wasn't a coincidence. It was prophecy that began in Genesis and was fulfilled in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Our faith isn't a coincidence. Our life on earth isn't a coincidence, and so may we use that love to be peacemakers on this earth. No matter who we come in contact with, may we have the boldness to experience that love so deeply. So my simple question is, how can you experience the love of Jesus more in your daily life? It's not this profound question for you to sit and mull on. It is a question for you to stop and think about. We're heading into a new year, and that's always full of New Year's resolutions. And what am I going to do differently? It doesn't have to start on January 1st. It could start today on January, or on December, what day is it, the 21st? I don't know what day it is sometimes. I just know Christmas is close. Living one day at a time, how can I have more of Jesus in my life? Because when we are filled with the Spirit of God, you can do anything that the Lord will bring you to do. You'll have boldness that you won't even understand you could have. I remember being this really quiet kid in high school, and somehow I ended up becoming a pastor and speaking in front of people. I still get nervous all the time. Trust me. But the Lord can do anything. And he can possess that great love. He does possess that great love for you. You don't know where he'll lead you, but if you continue to trust him and experience that love that he has for you, he will bring you peace that surpasses all understanding. As it says in Colossians 3:15, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. So may we do that. May we be peacemakers that carry with us this love that is so deep. This love that is so profound that we don't even have words for, but you will live differently. You will act differently. You will say things differently when you walk with Jesus. And so if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, we would love to talk to you about that. That's a part of what Christmas is about, is people coming into relationship with Jesus again too. May we as a church body welcome the people that we don't necessarily always see every year at Christmas and Easter. May we invite them into our homes. May we get to know them. May we get to know who they are. And you never know who you might have the chance to show the love of Jesus to. So who is he leading you to? And how can you experience his love so deeply? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your great love. I thank you that Jesus, your son, came to this earth as an infant conceived of the Mother Mary in the womb through the Holy Spirit, that we believe in the virgin birth and that you are, Jesus, God with us. And so may we remember that peace that we feel right now through Advent. May we take that and carry that with us throughout the year. When it's rainy in April and it's hot in the middle of June, when it's cold in the middle of December, may we have the reminder that your love is ever present, and may we take that with us. May we have times that we retreat away in the quiet place, just as your son Jesus did often, to hear you, O God. Lord, thank you for this church. Thank you for this community who loves you. And may we be empowered to share this great love with the world. We love you, Lord Jesus, and we pray these things in your name. Amen.